Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host for the Daily Challenges. The challenges are meant to help us explore what it means to follow Jesus. And we're learning to do that right now in a series called Pioneer Story, as we try to see how the first followers of Jesus organized themselves to remember and continue to learn what Jesus was all about. This week in particular, we're talking about pioneer practices, what the first followers of Jesus did when they gathered together as a community that would help them remember their values, help them remember what Jesus and his first followers were all about. We've already talked about two elements of this. We're gonna look at two more, but I just wanna remind you of the reading from the Bible we're exploring this week. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So yesterday we explored the first two of the four main categories of activity we see these first followers of Jesus performing. We talked about their continuity with Jesus' teaching through the apostles' teaching and fellowship. They were committed to the same things those who knew Jesus personally had learned. And then we see they were breaking bread. They were eating together on one level, but they were probably also breaking bread, drinking wine ritually as a way to remember that the night before Jesus died, he took bread and wine and he said, "This is my body and this is my blood broken and shed for you." He wanted them to remember him that way. And so that's probably what they did when Luke says they broke bread. The other two things we're going to see today are that it says they were devoted to prayer. And it also says that they had some kind of a common life together. Well, first of all, we'll look at prayer. We've already seen the importance of prayer in the life of these first followers of Jesus. In the last couple weeks, have always mentioned prayer as something the first followers of Jesus were meant to do. They were supposed to pray, wait and pray for the Holy Spirit to come. When the Holy Spirit came, it was in a moment of prayer. There's prayer throughout this story, and so it's not surprising to see that once these followers of Jesus were kind of on their own, especially as they started to explode in numbers, 3,000 people joining all at once, prayer was one of the things that brought them together, that they needed to be committed to in order to stay connected with God. The whole point of following Jesus is that he is the way to God the Father. And so continuing that open communication that they had with him on earth when he was here as a human being was going to be a vital part of staying in touch with the God who had created them, who loved them enough to send his son to die for them. So prayer was really important. We see them devoting themselves to prayer here now as well. We can see that some of their prayer life happened in the temple, and that's an amazing thing to see. The temple was the place where, as Jews, they had participated in temple sacrifices, sacrificing animals and grains and things like that, as part of their atonement for sin. As a way to make right the ways they had alienated themselves from God. Jesus dying on the cross was the ultimate sacrifice for sin and death. If the very first Christians hadn't figured that out yet, they certainly did by the time the book of Hebrews was written. Because it's clear in that book that Christians certainly saw Jesus as the ultimate sacrifice for sin and death. And there was no reason anymore to sacrifice at the temple. Jesus said the temple wouldn't be necessary anymore. He said it could be destroyed. And it certainly was. By 70 AD, the temple was destroyed. And for Christians, this was no bother. It was simply a place they could pray, yes, where God's presence had been made. But now that God's presence had come to earth in Jesus Christ, and they could know him personally, the temple was no longer the only place to meet God, but it was a place to pray to Jesus, through whom they had met God. So the temple was a place for them to pray, not a place for them to sacrifice anymore. And as they prayed there, it would have been a dangerous place to pray. Other Jews who had not had the same kind of encounter with Jesus may have been furious to see followers of Jesus praying like that. They might have considered Jesus a false Messiah. And here were some followers claiming he was not just a Messiah, but God, which would have been blasphemous. They'd sent him to the cross for that kind of thing. And now there were people still continuing to proclaim Jesus and even pray to him in the temple of all places. So we see that the disciples' prayer life was very powerful and also very dangerous. In a time when persecution was going to be coming fast, they were bringing it on by praying in the places they did. Well, the last thing from this reading in Acts that we're going to explore today is the common life that the disciples had together. It said they had all things in common. They were selling possessions and those kinds of things to give to others in need. And this one, of course, raises lots of questions. It's incredible, it's inspiring. But of course, as modern readers, we look at this and we say, oh, are we supposed to be doing that? Is that what a follower of Jesus is supposed to do? Are we all supposed to go sell everything and give it away? Is that what following Jesus means? If so, there's an awful lot of people in this world who claim to be followers of Jesus and are actually falling down on this very significant thing. And you know what? That's probably true to a degree. We could all do more when it comes to caring for others in our midst, for being more generous. There is always room to grow there. But I think when we read this story about them doing it, we often think, wow, they all did it all at once. They sold everything and had nothing left. And we're supposed to emulate that in some way. It's controversial. But let's ask, first of all, are they doing what we think they're doing as we read this in English? Well, first of all, it says they were selling all their possessions. It doesn't say that they sold, past tense, all their possessions. It says they were selling. So this was something active. As they found need, they were finding ways to meet those needs. So that there's a difference there. It's a very active thing rather than a past tense thing. They're identifying needs and doing whatever they can to help those in need. That's where we have a growing edge as modern people today, is to identify needs in our lives and help them. Not just to brashly go and sell everything thinking that's somehow our ticket to heaven. The other thing we want to notice about this is that it says they were still praying and breaking bread together in houses. They were breaking bread in their homes. It's another piece of evidence that they clearly didn't sell everything they had all at once. There were still followers of Jesus who had homes, but they were using those homes in order to gather the community, to bring others into the fellowship, to serve needs of others. They were using their homes as churches. So it's clear from this that not all followers of Jesus instantly became homeless by liquidating their assets. Yes, Jesus himself was homeless. Yes, he lived an itinerant life where he depended on the help of others. And you know what? Some Christians today still do that. They will just have no possessions. They'll go from place to place being missionaries. And that's a wonderful thing. But I don't think this passage is a prescription that to be a follower of Jesus, you must do that. But I think it does say to be a follower of Jesus, you must be doing that. It must be a part of your active, ongoing lifestyle to be generous, to see everything you have as an opportunity to help and serve others, whether it's your money or your home. That's a real challenging thing in today's world, but I think it's what this passage is telling us. Whatever the details, it's clear from this passage that these first followers of Jesus saw their possessions and their homes in a new way. And that's what should carry on to today's world as well. Well, tomorrow we're going to try to take these four things we've seen, apostles' teaching and fellowship, the prayers, the common life they had together, and the breaking of bread. We're going to take those four things and we're going to try to see how they apply to life as a church community today. But in the meantime, I've got one question for you to think about and hopefully discuss with the group. To what extent does your attitude towards your possessions reflect the story that we just read? Where's your growing edge in this topic when it comes to prayer or common life with other Christians? Well, have a great discussion. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye for now.